Genesis chapter 25, and also Hebrews chapter 9. Exodus chapter 25 and Hebrews chapter 9. Exodus chapter 25. We'll read verses 31 and 32, and then we will go to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse number 11, and then we will pray. Exodus chapter 25, verse 31 and 32, it reads, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shafts and his branches, and his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side." And go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it reads, "But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building." Let's pray. O God, teach us, Lord, we pray, from your precious word, how we, as your people, can be a light in this world full of darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon this evening is, "How Bright is Your Light?" How bright is your light? Now, in each piece of furniture, and in fact, in each process within and of the tabernacle, we learn more about the person and work of Jesus Christ. The tabernacle foreshadows our Lord. And there in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11, that is affirmed very clearly. "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle." Perfect tabernacle. "Not made with hands." That is to say, not of this building. So the tabernacle within the pages of the Old Testament foreshadowed a tabernacle to come in the person of Jesus Christ, who would deal with our sins once and for all. So in each piece of furniture within the tabernacle, we learn more about the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now last week we focused on the table of shewbread. Jesus Christ pictured as the bread of life that sustains us. This evening I'd like for us to focus on the candlestick, or as it's known in Hebrew, the menorah, the candlestick. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And we will note this evening that we as God's people are to shine forth His brightness in this dark world, because we've received the light of Christ, the gospel. So how can we effectively be that bright light in a world that's full of darkness? Now, I don't need to convince you of that very fact. I don't think I do anyway. The makeup and the purpose of the candlestick will show us how you and I can be that bright light. The candlestick, if you go back to Exodus chapter 25, please. Note there in Exodus chapter 25. There in verse 31, note the personal pronouns. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be of the same. The candlestick was a symbol of a person. Personal pronouns are applied to this piece of furnishing within the tabernacle. Personal pronouns are applied to this lamp, this candlestick, this menorah within the tabernacle. His shaft, his branches. The only piece of furnishing where a personal pronouns are used. The person that the candlestick represents without doubt is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. In John 9:5, the Bible reads that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. The light from the lamp, the candlestick, the menorah within the tabernacle, holy place, was indispensable in the service of the priests. It was absolutely necessary. Why? Because there were no other forms of light within the tabernacle. There were no windows within the tabernacle. The candlestick provided the only source of light within the holy place, the tabernacle. And Jesus Christ is that true light. He is the light of the world. And the Bible talks about you and I walking in the light of the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it talks about God's Word being a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And as we walk in the light of God's Word, He will reveal His glory, illustrated in this lampstand within the tabernacle. Let's note first and foremost concerning the candlestick or the lampstand, let's be mindful of its position. Where was the lampstand? The lampstand was within the holy place. It was within the holy place. You had the outer court, then you had the tabernacle proper, then you had the first section of the tabernacle known as the holy place or the sanctuary, and then you had the holy of holies. The candlestick was positioned within the holy place. Now, the holy place had three objects: the table of shewbread, the candlestick, and the altar of incense. And note there in Exodus chapter 26, please, verse 35, it reads that the candlestick was placed on the northern side of the holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. So as you entered the holy place, there on the north was the table of showbread, and on the south was the candlestick, directly opposite the table. And the Bible talks about it the table, and he put the candlestick in Exodus chapter 20, verse 24, and he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. So the first point I want to make this evening concerning the candlestick or the lampstand was concerning its position. It was placed within the holy place, and with every object within the holy place, these objects dealt with the issue of communion, fellowship. It was the place of fellowship. The outer court, the place of sacrifice. The Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. But in the holy place, it was the place of sweet communion. When I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was so diligent in the Father's business, yet he made time to commune with his Heavenly Father. Let me ask you this evening, does communion with God have a rightful position as a priority in your life and in my life? In 1 John 1:3, we are told that our fellowship one with another is truly with God the Father and God the Son. Do we value our communion with the Lord Jesus Christ? And the first point I want to make concerning this candlestick is concerning its position. It was within the holy place. It was within that place of sweet communion. I love Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. It reads, "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Is that your attitude? Is that my attitude when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ? This candlestick was within the holy place, in the place of sweet communion. We live in the days of entitlement. Everybody's crying out concerning their rights. Beloved, we should value what we have in the present. We should value life. We should value the measure of health we have. We should value the fact that our basic needs are being met. We should value family, our church, friendships. And last but not least, we should value our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this candlestick was within the place of communion. Does communion with the Lord have a rightful position in your life and in my life? Is it a priority? Like Mary of old, that sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listening to his word. So we find the candlestick was strategically positioned southward within the holy place. And also I'd like for us to note there in Exodus chapter 25, verse 31, concerning the preciousness of this candlestick. The Bible teaches us it was made of pure gold. Pure gold. Not only the positioning of the candlestick, it was within that place of communion, it was within that domain of fellowship, but also we see that this candlestick was precious. It was made, as the Bible teaches, a candlestick of pure gold. Jesus Christ is pure gold. Jesus Christ is pure gold. And may I read for you another verse from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, which reads, "His mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely." That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. The Bible talks about the precious blood of Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 1:19 that provides the forgiveness of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is pure gold in every which way. He is precious. Is He precious to you this evening? Is Jesus Christ precious in your life? The Lord Jesus is pure gold. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He should be precious because His love has no limits. There in Romans chapter 8, it talks about that nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is pure gold in every way. Another reason is that as we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will remain. Jesus Christ is pure gold because He promises never to leave us, never to forsake us. And Jesus Christ is pure gold because He offers the assurance of life eternal. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus Christ is precious. Jesus Christ should be our priority. And if He is our priority, then we will commune with Him daily. Jesus Christ should be precious in your sight and in my sight. And instead of crying out, entitlement, 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 let's thank God for what we have. Let's thank God that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. And let's reflect the fact that we value Jesus Christ in our lives. Let's demonstrate that we value our precious Savior. John chapter 14, verse 15. The Lord Jesus simply said, "If you love me," let's turn to John 14, verse 15. John 14, 15. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." How do we demonstrate our value, our love for Jesus Christ? By simple but yet profound obedience. This lampstand was precious. It was made of pure gold. The gold, the purity of gold, also reminds us of the divinity of Jesus Christ. Also note with me in Exodus chapter 25, please, once again. Go back to Exodus chapter 25. In verse 31, once again, it makes reference to pure gold of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. We see the positioning of the candlestick in that it was placed within the holy place, that place of communion, reminding you and I of the fact that Jesus Christ, our relationship with Him, needs to be a priority. We need to position Him as our priority day in, day out. Jesus Christ is also precious. This candlestick was made out of pure gold. And thirdly this evening, let's note concerning its production. Its production, the Bible talks about that this candlestick was the product of a beaten work. A beaten work. It was beaten and shaped accordingly. And the shape is spelled out there in verses 31 and 32 as we have just read. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 35, please. Go to Exodus chapter 35. In verses 30 to 35, men like Bezalel were appointed and equipped to make the tabernacle furniture, such as the candlestick. And we read here in Exodus chapter 35, from verses 30 to 35, concerning that fact. But for the sake of time, note there in verse number 32 it reads, and to devise curious works, and to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass. And if you go back to verse 31, he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship to devise curious works and to work in gold. So men like Bezalel were appointed and equipped to make the tabernacle furnishings such as the candlestick. And the Bible teaches us that it was from one talent of gold. If you go back to chapter 25, note then verse 39, please. We are not given the specific measurements of the candlestick. Just like the laver, the exact measurements are not given. But we are told of the weight of gold that was used. And note there in Exodus chapter 25, verse 39, of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. Of a talent of pure gold. Now the million-dollar question is, how much is a talent of gold? Well, it's estimated between 75 to 100 pounds. 75 to 100 pounds. So if we were to be conservative and work off the 75 pounds of gold, then that would equate to approximately just under 40 kilos. Two bags of 20 kilo bags of potato. That's a fair bit of gold, okay? And so the Bible teaches us that this candlestick was to be made out of, sculptured out of a talent of pure gold, just under 40 kilos of gold, 75 pounds. Came this vessel that would provide light within the tabernacle. And as we've read back there in Exodus chapter 25, verse 32, that it was beaten of one talent of gold. It had three branches on each side of the main stem. There was a main stem and three branches on each end. Therefore, there were seven arms in total that could bear oil and reflect light. Now, when you consider that numbering of the three and three, six, six is the number of man. And seven is the number of perfection, God. From the natural to the supernatural. And there's a fitting picture here of the fact that when we allow God to shape us as that able tradesman, we will become objects of his light in a world full of darkness. For he is the potter. We are the clay. And as we remain on the potter's wheel of his will, and remain in sweet communion with him, he will shape us from an ordinary lump to a glorious picture of his grace, giving evidence of his presence and power within our lives. See, Jesus Christ is the master Bezalel. Jesus Christ is the master Bezalel, and he is able to make something glorious out of your life and out of my life. I'd like to stress that word beaten there in verse 31 once again of Exodus chapter 25. This lump of pure gold, this one talent of pure gold, the Bible teaches us was of beaten work. And may I remind you that this is a wonderful picture of the fact that Jesus Christ was beaten and bruised for our sins. To offer the light of eternal life to all. Note there in Isaiah chapter 53, please. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Note there in verse number 5. It reads, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, or with his sufferings, we are healed. We have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was beaten and bruised for our sin, that he might provide life eternal for all. Therefore, likeness to Jesus Christ means that you and I might need to be beaten and bruised a little. We might need to endure hardness as soldiers of Jesus Christ. A willingness to be bruised, a willingness to be beaten, that we might be changed into his likeness. If we are to be a product that reflects his glory. I love Job chapter 23 verse 10. It reads, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Gold, a beaten work. The Lord Jesus was beaten and bruised in order to provide life eternal for all. And there are times in which God has to allow you and I to go through periods of feeling like we're being beaten and bruised, that he might change us and transform us into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see with this candlestick that it was positioned where? In that place of communion, that place of fellowship. The candlestick was precious. It was made of pure gold. Is Jesus Christ precious to you? Does your life give the evidence of the fact, my Lord is precious to me? And then we know concerning its production, the production of the candlestick, the Bible teaches it was a beaten work. It was sculptured, it was beaten and into shape to reflect and be a conduit of light. But last but not least this evening, I'd like for us to note its power. The power of this candlestick. Its power to do what? To dispel light. To dispel darkness. To lighten the holy place. Go back to Exodus chapter 25. Note there in Exodus chapter 25 verse 37. It reads, and thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. The power of the candlestick to dispel darkness, to lighten the holy place. The candlestick was the only source of light within the whole of the tabernacle proper, the holy place. Jesus Christ is the source of power. In John 8:12, it talks about Then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Light produces life. And light is the evidence of life. Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me ask you this evening, do you have the light of Jesus Christ in your life? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall he live. Light produces life, and light is the evidence of life. And we are to be a light in this world full of darkness. May I remind you of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, please? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. The power of the candlestick to dispel darkness, to lighten that holy place. We are to be a light in this world full of darkness. This candlestick within the tabernacle proper was not made to just be a beautiful ornament, though it was a beautiful ornament, to look nice within the sanctuary. It had a job to do. It had a purpose. It had a job to do. It was to bear and radiate light, thereby dispelling darkness. And beloved, this is what we are to be as God's candlesticks. We are to shine forth the light of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2:15, shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Philippians 2:15. Shine as lights in the world. Now, how can we possibly shine as lights in the world? Well, you and I need to first and foremost have a relationship with the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. He is the light of the world. And if we are to be that light, then we need to be in relationship with him. But please note that concerning this candlestick, oil from olives was used as the fuel to produce light in the holy place upon the candlestick. Note there in Exodus chapter 27, please. Go to Exodus chapter 27. Note then verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light. Beaten for the light. Oil from olives were used as fuel to produce light within the holy place upon the candlestick. These olives were beaten, they were crushed, they were pressured in order to release juices that would be flammable fuel to give off light. And this is a wonderful reminder to you and I as Bible-believing Christians, if we are to be that light of the world, if we are to shine as lights in the world, there are no shortcuts to Christ-likeness. There are no shortcuts to being that bright light. It comes with pressure and a willingness to be beaten, crushed, placed under that Gethsemane, that olive press, that God might squeeze out of us those juices that will be the source of light in this world of darkness. So these lampstands, this candlestick, in order to fuel, in order to provide light, fuel for light, these olives were picked from the olive tree and crushed, and the juices were extracted. And that was the source of light. But also note there with me in Exodus chapter 27, verse 20, that it reads, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel, they bring the pure oil olive beaten for the light." And note this next little phrase, "to cause the lamp to burn," how often? Always. Always. The candlestick was to be lit 24/7. It was to remain lit 24/7. Note there in Leviticus chapter 24, please. Quickly, Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. Verses 2 to 4. It reads there in Leviticus 24, verses 2 to 4, "Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation. Shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning." From the evening unto the morning. In Genesis 1:31, it talks about the evening and the morning was the first day, second day, third day, etc., up to day number 6. So all day long, that lampstand was to remain lit. "It shall be a statute forever in your generations." Then note verse 4, "He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick," that is all 7, "before the Lord continually." So 24/7, that lampstand was to be lit, and those priests were responsible to make sure that lampstand remained lit 24/7. It was to burn continually. And what a wonderful picture for you and I as Bible-believing Christians. God calls us to be Christians 24/7, to live, breathe, smell, talk, walk Jesus Christ every day of the week, every moment of the day. In order to do such, we need the assurance of His anointing. We certainly can't do it in our own strength. Oil in the Scriptures is often a fitting picture of the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our life. And if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, if you've received Him as Lord and Savior, then you have the presence of the Spirit of God. And if you'll yield to His control, you can be that constant light for the glory of God. The oil was to be constantly burning to produce a consistent light It was the only form of light within the tabernacle proper. So likewise, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God that we might daily reflect the light of Christ and be that light of the world. Quickly, go to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. In verse 14. The candlestick also for the light. In other words, the purpose of the candlestick is to provide light. And his furniture and his lamps were the oil for the light. So within this verse, there is an emphasis upon the fact that this candlestick was not just to be a wonderful, beautiful piece of furnishing, but it was to provide light. And that's God's calling for you. That's God's calling for me as a child of God, to be the light of the world. The Bible talks about pure oil. Pure oil. The oil had to be pure virgin oil. Pure virgin oil. So it wouldn't smolder. And that it would give off a fragrance. Pure olive oil. Virgin oil. Gives off a beautiful fragrance. If you go back to Exodus chapter 25, it talks about some other instruments that were made from this one talent of gold. Predominantly, the gold was used to shape a candlestick, but also note there in Exodus chapter 25, it talks about, and the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. So from this one talent of gold, tongs were made, scissors, the wick that transported the oil was trimmed, had to be trimmed from time to time. And the snuff dishes is in reference to the bowls and catching those burnt pieces of wick. And this is a wonderful picture of the fact that we need to allow God to prune us from time to time, that we might bear more fruit and be a brighter light for His glory. So when God chooses to cut, to trim back, there's a purpose in it, that your life and my life might produce more fruit for God's glory. So God calls us to be lights in the world as individuals that are part of a New Testament church. That's why in Revelation chapter 1, leading into chapter 2 and chapter 3 predominantly, it talks about the seven candlesticks which thou sawest, which are seven churches. Seven churches. Seven candlesticks, which are seven churches. So God calls us to be a light. And I'm mindful of Revelation 2:5, the church at Ephesus, how God called this church to repent because they had left their first love. Otherwise, Jesus said, I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. God calls us to be a light. The power of this candlestick was to dispel darkness. See, the candlestick was the most ornate piece of furniture within the tabernacle. Its decorative flowers of cups and buds and blossoms were formed from one piece of gold, a talent of gold. On each side of the upright middle shaft were three branches that extended upward. Each branch had three almond-flowered shaped cups. The middle shaft had four cups. At the top of each of the seven branches was a lamp that provided light in the holy place. And God commissioned for this candlestick to remain lit continually. A beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world who shines brightly. The candlestick was beaten into shape that it might hold the light. It was beaten into shape that held the light, and olives were crushed to produce the fuel for the light. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to be bruised and beaten for my sins, for your sins. He is the light of the world. And beloved, you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, are called upon to shine forth His light, to be a light in this world of darkness. So in conclusion, as we consider the candlestick, we consider its position within the holy place, that place of sweet communion. Is Jesus Christ a priority in your life? For those of us that are Christians, do we fellowship with Him regularly? Is Jesus Christ precious? This candlestick was made of pure gold. Jesus Christ is pure gold. Is He pure gold in your life? Do you value Jesus Christ? Do you value all that He provides for us? We have all that pertains to life and godliness because of Jesus Christ. And then concerning the candlestick, we made reference to its production. It was beaten into shape. It was shaped to be an instrument of light. Jesus Christ was willing to be beaten and bruised for you and I to provide forgiveness. Are you willing? Am I willing to be beaten and bruised for the cause of Jesus Christ? And last but not least, this candlestick, a source of power to dispel darkness. This candlestick was to be lit to remain a light 24/7. 24/7. It was to burn always. And God has called each one of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've been anointed with fresh oil. The presence of the Holy Spirit. And as you and I walk under His power and in His under His dominion, you and I can be that light 24/7. In closing this evening, how bright is your light? How bright is the light of your life? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The Lord Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on the behalf of you and I as Bible-believing Christians. We've been left behind to beyond just look attractive. The candlestick was very attractive. It was very detailed in its creation. It had a job to do. God has a job for you to do. God has a job for me to do. We have to be bearers of the light of Christ. Are we shining brightly for God's glory? The opportunity is now to shine brightly for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message of the candlestick. It was the only form of light within the tabernacle proper. No windows, no light switches. It was it. And so likewise, we are it. We are it. We need to be that light. May God help us to be a radiant light. But that might involve being willing to be beaten a little, crushed, shaped, that we might be a pure light, and that we might shine as bright as possible on this side of eternity. Let's pray.